Good afternoon, everyone. What a joy it is to be up here in Northwest with you all. I haven't spent a lot of time in the Northwest. Been in Canada for a lot of my ministry, in California and Texas. So it's nice to be up here with you, to visit with you, and to be able to bring you the ABC mini sampler. We call it a mini sampler because it gives you a taste and a sample of what the ABC students go through. And by the way, we want to certainly thank the Northwest as a whole, all the families and parents and students who've come to ABC, because I think as a whole, the Northwest leads the country in supplying students to ABC, and we're looking forward to many more to come in the future. And I believe there's a representative, I know, of 2000, 2001, and 2002. Is there one here from 2003 that I've lost my recollection of? But anyway, we have several coming for next year as well. This coming 2004, we have over 30 accepted. Mr. Luker has a nominal fee to help offset the costs of the hall. And I think you're in for a treat, because you're going to get Bible, and you're going to get the teachings of the Word of God as we would teach the students in Ambassador Bible Center. Every area we've gone to thus far, when we will pass out evaluation sheets at the end. I brought enough for everybody. And when we pass those out, and the most often heard comment or written comment is, when are you coming back? We just did one in Boston in September, and I scanned the sheets, and you know, a lot of them said, when are you coming back? And Mr. Suckling already wrote me, we just did it in September, he already wrote me, said, put our request in for another one. So there are, yes, we have done two in Phoenix, and Toronto wants another one. Vancouver's already asked for one, as Cedric Woolley. And we said, well, since we're coming up here this year, we'll kind of hold off on those for this year. But we do appreciate the enthusiasm of God's people for the Word of God. And that's what you'll be getting a lot from the Word of God tonight and tomorrow. But tomorrow we'll give you a real sample of what it's like to sit for 8 hours or 6 hours and hear the Word of God with breaks in between appropriately. We do have one change. I think Mr. Luker will probably announce that about tonight. If you were a person who suffered from a slowly progressing and incurable skin disease, you would probably be called a leper. And had you lived in the time of Jesus Christ and had leprosy, you would have had to let your clothes be kind of disheveled, you would not comb your hair, and you would be isolated from everyone else, and if somebody were to come near you, you had to pull your robe or your garment scarf over your lip, and you would have to cry out, unclean, unclean, to keep them away from you. The type of disease that leprosy was considered incurable. Even though in Leviticus 13 and 14, Leviticus 13 is an entire chapter about leprosy, about how a person, their hair starts to turn white, their skin starts to turn a different color, they would go and go to the priest, who would have to examine them. So priests back then also had to be kind of like doctors too. They would examine them to see if they had it. They would have to make many visits to that priest to see if it was improving, or to see if it was truly full-blown leprosy, if the flesh started to turn raw. True leprosy, as described in the Bible, if left untreated, literally your fingers drop off, your digits drop off, your toes, your body becomes mangled and disfigured. To be a leper was one who knew what isolation was. And if you saw the movie Ben-Hur, you remember when Judah Ben-Hur tried to go find his mother and his sister, they tried to throw stones at to try to keep these people away from them, and how they pulled their garments up over their faces they didn't want him to see. Leprosy, according to the Bible, was incurable unless by a miracle. Now, Naaman the Syrian was told to dip 7 times in the Jordan or 3 times in the Jordan, he was healed. And individuals could be healed and cured from it by a miracle. So even Leviticus 14 provides for that. But there are all types of instructions I'm not going to take the time to read in Leviticus 13 and 14 about leprosy. Now, why do I tell you about leprosy? This dreaded disease. Because if you had leprosy and you were healed, would you be thankful? If you had an incurable disease, and some people have had incurable diseases, and were cured, would you be thankful? Leviticus chapter 17, verses 11 to 18. Sorry, Leviticus. Luke. Got Leviticus on the mind now. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 18. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 18. I want to use this parable as a springboard to talk about the topic, be you thankful. Be you thankful. Because we do live in a generation that is unthankful. Remember what 2 Timothy talks about. Sometimes you go into a store or a restaurant, and when you go in, you almost thank them for paying the money, because they don't thank you for giving them the money. And it's almost like you want to say, you're welcome, but they don't even say thank you. So you end up saying, well, thank you, and they give you your money back. Why am I thanking them? I just gave them business. Why am I thanking them? They should be thanking me, but they don't, because we live in a society that's not very thankful. Luke chapter 17. I've got to get out of Luke. Maybe I should take this in Matthew, except Matthew doesn't have it. All right. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And some will say the midst being on the border between the two. So he was not traveling the main way. And that's how he encountered these lepers that you're going to see. And as he entered into a certain village, in other words, before he entered into the certain village, because they would have been cast out of the village if they were truly lepers, they would have not been in the village. So they were outside of the village. And as he came to enter into the village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. And you know what they would have looked like? Their clothes would have been disheveled. Their hair would have been tousled, so they didn't look up. And they would have had to put their garment over their face, over their mustache, had to cover their mustache. If you were a woman, you didn't have a mustache, covered your upper lip. And you had to cry out and say, unclean, unclean. This is a scene that you would have seen and which you would have heard had you been there. So they met, 10 lepers met him, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices. They heard about this Jesus. They considered him their last resort, because this was an incurable disease. Now today, leprosy can be controlled and treated with medication and drugs. Back then, the type of disease they had, the leprosy that they had at that time, according to the commentaries, was one that was incurable. If you got it, that was it for you. So they lifted up their voice, they said, Jesus, Master. So again, what were they doing? They were appealing to this. They had heard about this guy, they heard about the healings, they heard about some of the miracles that he had done, and they were appealing to him to please help them. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And isn't that all healing is about? We know God can heal anything. We know God can do anything. We know with God nothing is impossible. But it is according to his mercy and our faith in his mercy that he will heal. And so they were begging for his mercy. And when he saw them, he said to them, and again, Jesus Christ would have seen them, very brave and very daring. He said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. Well, if you were already designated a leper, they already knew you were a leper, unless there was some significant change in your ailment, you didn't need to go to the priest. The reason you went back to the priest is for him to either confirm it or to deny it, to say you're clean. And they were considered unclean if they had the leprosy, and as long as it hadn't covered their entire body. And I guess when it covered their entire body, they were called clean because the flesh was, I guess, not still raw, or you could catch it. But
these lepers, if they, these individuals, they would have only been told to go show themselves to the priest if they had been cleansed. And Leviticus 14 does talk about what they're supposed to do. So he's sending them before they're even healed. I mean, he's sending them, he's saying, look, you want to know, you're asking for mercy, go show yourself to the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So as they obeyed him, as they listened to him to go, they were cleansed. And this is the interesting part. You imagine, again, I have known of people who've been threatened with death. I have known of people who faced death. Some of them made it and some of them didn't. Some of them were very courageous. Anybody I've ever met facing death in the church has been very courageous to the end. In other cases, God intervened and healed miraculously, marvelously, wonderfully, and God be praised for that. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, how do you know you're healed? Well, all of a sudden your skin feels good, restored. All of a sudden you see you're healed. When one saw that he was healed, he turned back. Only one out of 10 turned back. Now, did Jesus say to them, and commentaries will say to you, well, the other 9 were merely obeying him. He told them, go to the priest. And they were just obeying Jesus. But did he say, go immediately? Did he say, go and don't turn back? Did he say, go right this second? Go in 15 seconds or 15 minutes? Be back? He didn't say that. He just said, go. And when the one man saw that he was healed, his response was, I've got to thank somebody for this. I've got to thank somebody for this. And so one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He took time to turn to his maker, to Jesus Christ, whom he recognized as God in the flesh, and to the great God of heaven, who was his Father, and to give thanks and praise for what had been done. Notice as we go on, and which type of man was this? And he fell down on his face at his, Jesus Christ's feet, giving him thanks. Giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So here's the Samaritan, and then the commentaries will say, well, maybe he didn't realize the importance of it since he was just a Samaritan, a follower. Although the Samaritans knew God's law too, they were just a transplanted people who weren't, you know, the normal Jewish from the southern part of the kingdom. But nonetheless, he was a Samaritan. He returned to give God thanks. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Weren't there 10 of you? Were there not 10 cleansed? Did it make a difference to Jesus Christ when he was given thanks? Did he even notice it? Yes, he noticed it. You ever do something for people and you don't get a thanks? Does it make you feel like helping them? Now again, we should never do something in order to elicit a thank you. If we do it so we get thanked, then there's our reward. We do it because it's the right thing to do. But when you do receive thanks for what you have done, doesn't it make it better? Doesn't it make you feel appreciated? Doesn't it make you feel like what you did was welcomed, was appreciated? And so Jesus Christ noticed. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? How come only one of you came back? There are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger. The only one that came back was this Samaritan, who was one of the 10 lepers. And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole. Now, it doesn't say that the others weren't made whole, but it does show that this person's faith was stronger because he not only received the healing, but he also recognized from whom that healing came and returned the glory to God who did it. So it's a very valuable lesson about giving thanks. Do you know the Bible has over 100 texts that talk about giving thanks, being thankful, thanksgiving, thanks. thank over 100 texts, a lot of them in the Psalms. And many of them, it's about giving thanks to God. In fact, in many cases, it's giving thanks to God for this person, giving thanks to God for this action, giving thanks to God for this blessing, giving thanks to God even for this trial, giving thanks. But the Bible does not tell us don't give thanks to people, because the Apostle Paul gave thanks to a lot of people in his ministry. So don't think, well, I give thanks to God, and it doesn't matter if I give thanks to fellow human beings. I'll tell you a little story about my daughter, Susie. My daughter, Susie, worked in Ambassador College at the mail receiving or data input area. And she worked there when she was about 14 or 15, part-time during the summer. They needed data input operators when the students were gone. So she'd go over there and work. And she did virtually perfect work. They tested her sample stack every time. No mistakes, no mistakes, no mistakes. Do you know, when she finished working there, seldom ever did she get thanks. Seldom ever did anybody say, thank you for working here. She worked one summer for a company in the world as a receptionist and also helped out in the accounting area. And virtually every day, somebody stopped by to say thank you. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. And when she left, it was only for the summer, they gave her a gift and they said, thank you for being here. And if you ever need a job, come back here. I think sometimes we get so perhaps inward and so outward toward God, we forget to be outward toward each other too. We all owe thanks to lots and lots of people. I'm going to share with you a couple of quotes that I brought along with me. This one's entitled Only in the Dictionary. A businessman said, people are ingrates. It took me 61 years to find it out. I have 175 employees, men and women. At Thanksgiving, which is coming up, I sent 175 choice turkeys to them. Only 4 thanked me. 2 thanked me by notes. 2 said thank you when they chanced to meet me in the hall. Because of their thanklessness, I've decided never to go out of my way to be nice to them again. Someone has said, if you want to find gratitude, look for it in the dictionary. Isn't that sad? The Bible uses the term Eucharistos in the New Testament, Eucharistia and Eucharisteo, as 3 major words for thanksgiving in the New Testament. Tuda and yada, and I guess that's where yada, yada, yada comes along. I don't know, but anyway, those tend to be thank you, thanks in the Old Testament. Those are the Hebrew, Greek words first and the Hebrew words to be used. But to be truly thankful, we could take a look at 3 aspects. And I think this is something, see, I can say thanks, you give me this thanks, it could become rote. Our little kids and children have to learn to be thankful, just like sometimes adults have to be retrained to be thankful. Little children have to be taught. You know, you give them some, hold it in your hand, they reach their hand, you say please, they please. My daughter used to say petita, petita, petita. I don't know why she made please so hard, but that was the first, my firstborn. Second would say please, okay, and they'd say please, they want, then you put it in their hand, and when they receive it, then you say thank you. So they would say thank you. And then when you put your hand out, say please, they'd give it back to you, and you take it and you say thank you. And you started teaching them that, the please and thank you. Raggedy Ann, Raggedy Andy have a whole book on the please, I thank you, and I love you book. That you teach children to say thank you. But you know what? Many adults may have missed that because we do live in an ungrateful age. But the truly thankful, there are 3 aspects, and they have to do with approach and attitude to thanksgiving. The approach that we have to thanksgiving. And I think it's important, you can say it with your words, but if you don't think about it, if you don't observe it, and then use the words appropriately with the appropriate tone, the appropriate feeling, at the appropriate time, it is not the same. So if you want to be a thankful person, listen to these three areas that we can look at. Number one, and I won't take a whole lot of time on any of them, is a split sermon. Number one is attitude. Attitude. What is your attitude toward Thanksgiving? I want to read to you a quote. This is entitled, Thankful After a Robbery. Thankful After a Robbery. Matthew Henry, the famous scholar, was once accosted by thieves and robbed of his purse. He wrote these words in a diary, quote, "Let me be thankful first, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed." A concept, an attitude of thankfulness. An attitude of thankfulness that sees us through all circumstances. An attitude and an approach that was had. Let me share another comment and then I'll go to a scripture for you. The hardest arithmetic to master is that which enables us to count our blessings. Hardest arithmetic to master is that which enables us to count our blessings. Many times, because our attitude is not directed in what comes to us and where did that come from and how did we receive that. Another one says, a thankful heart is not only the greatest virtue, but is the parent of all virtues. A thankful heart, it has to do with our attitude, has to do with our approach. Let's take a look at the scriptures in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 very quickly. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. And read what the Apostle Paul said about this. And this is the title of the sermon. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you are called in one body. And be you thankful. Be you thankful. It is an instruction from God to us that we need to have that attitude of gratitude. See, if you come into the world and you come into the church or you come into a society, a community, that everybody owes me everything, then what comes to you? Well, sure, thanks. You know, it came to me. I deserved that. Why should I say thank you to you? I deserved it. If you come in with that attitude, that everybody owes me. But if you come into the attitude that nobody owes me anything, and whatever I receive is bonus, it's always bonus, then you're grateful, then you're appreciative. It has to do with an attitude of heart and mind. You can pray for Thanksgiving. Read the Psalms. There's so many of them that talk about, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Look, read with David, how grateful he was for what came his way. It's an attitude of mind and heart. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6, just one book prior to the Colossians, we read, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Why, even the angels, even the heavenly creatures, thank God. The attitude of thankfulness, the attitude of gratitude is something that we all need to have if we're truly going to be thankful. Ephesians 5 and verse 20, I love this verse. Ephesians 5 and verse 20, we read this, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it has to do with an attitude. How is our attitude? Do we think, well, the world owes me? I'm just waiting for these things to come. Well, I was waiting for that. I was expecting that. Then that's not a grateful attitude. But we don't come into the world thinking the world owes us, but rather God is blessing us, God has given to us, people have given to us. We look to be thankful, attitude-wise. All right, let's take a look at the second point. Next, Next point is observation. Observation. To be truly thankful, you must observe what's going on. You must be aware. You must be aware of your circumstance. You must be aware of your situation. The principle is found in Luke 16:10, which says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in that which is much." Are you only thankful for huge gifts? Or are you thankful for little ones? Think about it. How thankful are you normally for a glass of water? Yeah, you need to take your vitamins in the morning, give them, take a glass of water. Do you say, "Oh, thank you, God, that I have a glass of water"? No, you're not. But I bet I can tell you one day, one time, you're very thankful for a glass of water. Comes in the fall of the year, after the 10th day of the 7th month, after that clock strikes the sunset time, and you're getting ready to go out to dinner. Isn't it nice to have a glass of water? What about a cup of coffee when you get up in the morning? You might like your coffee in the morning. Maybe you don't like coffee. Maybe you like tea in the morning. You get your coffee or your tea in the morning, and as you have that, yeah, you're normally thankful for that, but not really as thankful as you are until after the Day of Atonement when your head's hurting a little bit, and you take that first sip of that Java juice and feel a little bit better. There's an attitude of gratitude at that time. But see, we need to be more so observant that we are grateful for little things. Grateful for little things. And I think it's important when you notice it, to be grateful for little things, you have to notice that little things occurred to you. You have to be sensitive and aware that little things happened. Sometimes we're not. To be observant will help us be grateful. Take a look at Philippians 1, verses 3 and 4. Philippians 1, verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul thought on things. And you know what? You don't want to think too long on them either. For instance, if you think too long, so you sent me something, maybe you did something nice for me. Mr. Luker picked me up at the airport. So 6 weeks later, I send him a note and say, "Thank you for picking me up." You know what? It doesn't have the same impact. It doesn't have the same impact. Somebody gave you a piece of chewing gum during church when you were nodding off and helped you keep awake during the rest of the service. And as they did, you didn't thank them. And maybe 2 weeks later, "Oh yeah, by the way, thank you for that." Now, it's better than nothing. I will say late thank yous are better than nothing. But if the thank you goes too long, it takes the edge away from the duty and the act. And so it's important to be observant, to notice what's happening to you, to your family, around you, your community, your church, your brethren, so that you can be thankful to God for them, about them. So Philippians 1, verses 3 and 4, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." So Paul was thinking about them. "Boy, when I think about you, I'm so happy. When I think about you, I feel so... When I think about you, I'm so grateful. When I think about you, I'm so thankful." Again, he was telling God that, yes. But the point being, he was observant. It's important to be observant. He noticed right away and he commented on it. Remember when Epaphroditus had risked his life to bring him these things, and when they sent him these gifts, he was grateful and thankful how they refreshed his soul. He commented on it. It's important. How many times has somebody had you over for dinner? You've never sent any card back to them. "Oh, I said thank you before I left." Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Verbal thank you is good. A written thank you is also good. But if the written thank you doesn't come for 2 months, it's not so good. Be observant to be thankful. It is important. And again, Philippians 1, verses 3 and 4, he said, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making a request with joy." In every prayer, I'm remembering you. I'm giving thanks for you. So was Paul observant? Was he aware? Yes, he was aware. And of course, the principle is if you're faithful in that which is little, so if you learn to thank God for the little things, if you learn to thank others for the little things, you'll definitely remember to thank them for the bigger ones. Let me read you a couple of quotes, 165-84 here. I'll grab it. "Think and thank. is the title of this. It has often been pointed out that thinking precedes thanking. When we are presented with a gift, it is because we think of its significance and meaning that we are led to express our appreciation. What then are the thoughts that, entertained by Christians, lead to thanksgiving? Somewhere in our thinking, there should be thoughts of God. Perhaps we should start there. God. What a train of thought should be started when we think of Him. Power, wisdom, goodness, grace, love, care. These are just some of the thoughts that cluster around the word God. Paul traces the downward path of mankind. He begins by saying that men, when they knew God, this is Romans 1, I was going to read this one to you, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. So it is important to think. It's important to be observant of what that gift is, what happens in and around you and your loved ones, and to be grateful for it. I think I have one other quote on that. Yes. Nothing is more honorable than a grateful heart. Nothing is more honorable than a grateful heart. Okay, let me go to the next point, number three. So to be observant is vital and important. Number three, finally, words. Words. I read a leadership magazine and it said the two most important words are thank you. The least important word is I. But the two most important words are thank you. Thank yous go a long way, not only toward reinforcing someone's help to you, but you see what happened to that man who gave 175 turkeys to 175 turkeys. I mean, sorry, he gave 175 turkeys. Only four said thank you, and only two did it deliberately. Two happened upon him. The lack of gratitude, what happened? The 175 were no longer blessed. So you think every time you thank somebody for a small deed, not just small, you know what you've done? You've reinforced their giving ways. You've actually helped your neighbor. Because that person, because they feel a sense of gratitude, will be more likely to respond to someone else, too. So words are very important. Thank you. Thank you. Say them often. Say them much and say them meaningfully. And while most thanks in the Bible is directed toward God, it's certainly appropriate to thank human beings too. Psalms 100 and verse 4. Psalms 100 and verse 4 gives us an example of the gratitude, just one out of the Psalms. Psalms 100 and verse 4. We read this, verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His gates with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Be thankful. Again, another command from God to us to look at thankfulness and gratitude. But Romans 16, verses 3 and 4. Romans 16, verses 3 and 4. And I can tell you, my daughter was on a high. She still appreciated working for the work. She still did her job for the work when she went to Ambassador College and went through work for the work at that time. But I'll tell you, that summer where she was praised and appreciated regularly really inspired her to do well, made her want to be there, made her want to work there. And we should not be cheap with our gratitude. We of all people, Christians with the Spirit of God, who understand that love is outgoing concern and not just incoming reception, but outgoing concern. Romans 16, verses 3 and 4. Greet, notice what Paul writes, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And he goes on to praise and appreciate all these individuals. But he said, I give thanks to them. We need to be more grateful. We need to be more thankful. I'm going to close with a couple of quotes and one final scripture, which I'll read from the Amplified. A boy was thankful for his glasses. A Sunday school teacher asked her class what they were thankful for. One little boy said, my glasses. When asked why was he thankful for his glasses when most little boys were bitter about wearing them, he said, because they keep the other boys from fighting with me, and they keep all the girls from kissing me. So that was a little kid who learned how to be thankful. But let me close with this one. A soldier in the American Third Army, and again using the word, saying thank you, was sent to a rest camp after a period of active service, and our servicemen over in Iraq really having a tough time right now, and certainly need our prayers for God to protect them and take care of those who are evil men in this world. There are really a lot of evil men. Anyway, when he returned to his outfit, he wrote a letter to General George Patton and thanked him for the splendid care he had received. General Patton wrote back that for 35 years, he sought to give all the comfort and convenience he could to his men, and added that this was the first letter of thanks he received in all his years in the Army. Isn't that sad? But the words thank you, they aren't hard to say. Many of us learn them. If you need to go out and buy the book, or you want a copy of it, I think it's out of print now. It's a beautiful little book. It's rhymed that teaches us how to be thankful from Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy. But it's really important for us to learn to be thankful, grateful people. Not to just feel it in our hearts, but to think about it, to observe, and to say it. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. And by the way, the first letters of each of these words are A-O-W, which means absolutely nothing. But the 3 points are precious, are important, if you want to be a thankful individual. But Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Let's remember that while Thanksgiving is coming up, it should not be the only day of the year that we say thanks to God, thanks to our fellow man, thanks for all the blessings we received. Let's remember to be a grateful and thankful people. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. As you therefore have received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, that is, regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with him and conformity to him. Verse 7, have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him and fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more conformed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. We, of all people, the people of God, with the Spirit of God, with so many blessings, spiritual blessings, physical blessings, we need to be thankful.